Christmas is drawing near, and it's a time that we traditionally celebrate in the company of our families. But what about those people who have nobody with whom to spend the festive season? As I've been finding out, there are more and more lonely people in Britain today, not just at Christmas, but throughout the whole year. We are living longer, and increasingly we are living alone. Statistics predict that by the year 2020, more than 2 out of 3 British households will be people living on their own. It's estimated that already 1 million elderly people in the nation don't see a friend or a neighbour during the course of an average week. But whilst most of those suffering from loneliness do tend to be the elderly, observers say more and more people from all age groups and all social milieu are falling into this category. But why is there so much loneliness in today's society? And how is the church reaching out to offer comfort and companionship to these isolated people? Siobhan Garibaldi is a trustee of the St. Vincent de Paul Society in London, and as a volunteer, often visits lonely people in their homes.
Well, I think that loneliness goes across the age range, from children being left to their own devices while their parents go to work, to the elderly whose family are nowhere near or too busy coping with their own lives to help. It goes across the social scale, from the materially poor to the well-off. And it also goes across all nationalities, from our own indigenous population to the thousands of immigrants pouring into the country, many of whom have left their families behind in their quest for work. I think that the breakdown of the family unit, with many marriage breakups, causes an awful lot of single parents to feel in a position of loneliness as they struggle to make ends meet and haven't got the time or the money to go out and make social visits. So it's very much across the board, and I think there are many contributing factors as to why loneliness is so prevalent today.
Monsignor John Furnival is a parish priest in the Liverpool area, and he agrees with Siobhan that it's not just old people who suffer from loneliness and isolation.
I think actually more and more it's not just confined to the elderly. It is very much those who are on the younger age bracket, and perhaps people who are out of work, people who have been put out of their own home, people of that kind who would, you know, come into the younger age bracket. So it is a problem amongst younger people too, where perhaps there's disillusionment and alienation from their own families.
It's a widely held assumption that those suffering from loneliness are usually poverty-stricken. But as Siobhan makes clear, these people are quite often materially well off.
If somebody needs a visit, hopefully we're there to make that visit and to befriend them. That does go right across the economic scale. People who are well off can also be lonely because their families are busy in their day-to-day lives. I think we live in a 24-hour culture where people are racing about, not just during the day now, but also in the evening and during the night. Many people work shifts. And that affects people who have got money and also people who haven't got money. I think everybody at the end of the day is suffering because of our 21st century living.
Material well-being, though, is no substitute for the companionship of family and friends. And it's little wonder that people living on their own are more likely to fall prey to feelings of depression and anxiety. Monsignor Furnival says that many of the lonely people he visits in his parish are severely depressed.
I think at times morale can be very low. I visit a lady whose husband has gone into a geriatric unit who's suffering from Alzheimer's. And they were together for 60 years and now have to be apart. And I think it's a heartbreak for her, for the wife, because the husband is not really conscious of the separation, but she's very acutely conscious of it, is in her own home, very lonely, and she often phones me simply to have a voice at the other end of the phone and a break in the, you know, what is for her a very long day and a very tearful day, I suspect. So there are people like that who've been separated on health grounds and so on. And I think that would be, you know, one that I'd single out amongst a number of others, really, in that situation. People who have spent their lives together are now forcibly separated, unfortunately.
It can be depressing sitting at home by yourself, but even going out and about can be just as bad sometimes because it shows up the contrast with the lives of other people, as Siobhan explains.
It's very easy when you're living on your own to feel depressed. Even when you're not actually in the house yourself, you don't have to be in a quiet environment to feel depressed. I think something that exacerbates the problem greatly is the fact that if you do go out and about, everybody around and about seems to be having, you know, a good time, particularly when you see people out in groups and you yourself are out and you're on your own. I think it makes the problem feel worse, and I think that you do tend to feel more depressed.
These feelings of depression among the lonely have been so severe that sometimes people have been tempted to consider committing suicide. Siobhan again.
Personally, I have come across people who have been contemplating suicide because the problems that they have, some people may have mental health problems, they may have physical problems, and if they feel that they have nobody to share that with, they do sometimes wonder what the point of carrying on is. Now, when we're on the end of the telephone, or when we're there to go around and make a visit and to talk it through with them and give them some degree of hope that there is hope on the horizon and there is a reason to carry on with their life, hopefully that doesn't make a difference and turn the situation around. But I personally have come across people on several occasions that have been contemplating suicide because life does seem so dark for them. And around and about, particularly if you watch the television, it gives the impression that everybody else is having a jolly good time.
When people slide into despair like this, Siobhan says she and other volunteers can help pull them back from the brink by offering their hand in friendship.
If we're able to spend time talking to somebody just to make them realise that life is worth living, then in their moment of despair, I think they feel that there is a glimmer of hope. We're not experts in anything in particular. What we are able to give is our time and our compassion and our commitment to people. And even though we're not experts, just being a fellow human being, sitting down and taking the time to talk to them and to offer the hand of friendship and to reach out to them in their moments of need, hopefully will do the trick and actually make them feel that life is worth carrying on with.
And he wanders home alone. So how can you tell me you're lonely?
Don't say for you. Not surprisingly, it's all too common for people living on their own to seek out companionship via the TV or even the internet. But as Monsignor Furnival explains, this can be a dangerous strategy.
Yes, if people are on the internet, I think that does become quite a feature of life, and television certainly dominates. But I think that ultimately, if that is their only diet, they lose the social skills. They lose the, you know, ability to interact and relate to others. I think this is where the church comes in, really, in terms of the local parish community, trying to reach out to people like that, bring them back in, invite them to coffee mornings, as we do regularly for the bereaved, for example, and for those living alone, to relate them back to the community, because I think that's the great tragedy of the television, the internet taking over people's lives. And it could do so for a whole vast range of people, and they lose that community sense, that sense of belonging, really, and become very isolated.
Siobhan agrees with him and told me that sometimes the TV and computer can encourage lonely people to lose track of reality.
The television now is available 24 hours a day, and I have known cases where people who have no other reason to get up will stay up by night watching television and sleep by day because of our 24-hour culture. people who don't work, who perhaps have been alienated by the rest of society, live in their homes and quite often only have the television to try and keep them company. I dealt with one case myself where a gentleman called Phil, who was a recovering alcoholic, was moved from a rehabilitation unit into his own accommodation, and he'd already alienated his family and friends because of his alcohol problem, and he was unemployable due to physical and mental problems. So because he was unable to drive and he had mobility problems, he was a virtual prisoner in his own home. Now, in that situation, day tends to merge into night. And we found with Phil that he was staying up during the night to watch television and then would sleep during the day, that his week had no structure, whereas we tend to live between Monday and Friday in a working environment and then use our leisure time at the weekend. For Phil, there was no weekend. One day was much the same as the next. Day was much the same as night. So what we were able to do was to go in and visit him, to take him out of his home so that he could see the outside world, so that he could have some structure in his life and look forward to our visit. And it was a time when he was able to sit down and chat to us and tell him about his experience in life. And he had an awful lot to say and an awful lot to give. And at the end of the day, we learn from our visits as well. We end up wiser and hopefully a little bit better by making the visits ourselves. It's a two-way process.
Christmas, as we all know, is a time of goodwill and fellowship that we traditionally spend with our families. But for those living on their own, it can be a season to dread, when those feelings of loneliness become even more acute.
Yes, I think the sense of isolation increases at Christmas because people look around, they see perhaps people going to parties, office parties, they see activity, they see consumerism in the shops, and they may not be able to access all that. And I think it must be an increasingly sad time, Christmas time, when there's an acute sense of that. Loss of a sense of belonging, really, at a time when ostensibly we should be very much emphasizing belonging and community, and the whole spirit of the Christmas message is to care for everybody. And I think the sense of need is so great at Christmas time.
And as Siobhan points out, there are far more people than we think who are forced to spend Christmas on their own.
There's many cases that we've dealt with where people might otherwise be totally on their own at Christmas. There was one particular case called Dorothy, and the St. Vincent de Paul Society members went out to visit Dorothy and to befriend her and to sit down and spend time with her. And it transpired that when Dorothy died, that we had actually been the only people to visit her. And there's many thousands of people like Dorothy who sit on their own all the time, and Christmas just exacerbates the feeling of loneliness that everybody else is together with their family and they're on their own.
In the all-night cafe at 11:15, same old man sitting there on his own.
I was speaking to Siobhan Garibaldi of the St. Vincent de Paul Society in London and Monsignor John Furnival, a parish priest in the Liverpool area.
So how can you tell me you're lonely? Don't say for you that the sun don't shine. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. Show you something to make you change your mind.